between her and your daughter and somebody else. Nothing. It's nature. It's nature. You cannot help because there is an affinity here in nature. And that nature feels comfortable around the things of its nature. And it feels uncomfortable around things that you will never be comfortable in a Baptist church or Methodist. Right? So, I want just a little bit talking with you. Cast, and the prophet began to say, you see, you can go before a big crowd. You can have a lot of people. But he says, look, I want to see where it's received. Right? And I believe we are having this meeting here because Kenville believes these things. And it wants to share what they think are important to Durban. And that's why they've spent hundreds or thousands of dollars to try to have the streaming set up for different countries and for an invitation to go out to see if we can search these things and see if they are true. Because God don't give gifts without a reason. I was telling Brother Ronnie today, when God gives a gift, if it is a gift, then your attitude towards the gift is the attitude towards the giver of the gift. And if you say, I don't want to hear all of that foolishness, then you just told God you are stupid because I can do without it. We don't even need it, even if it comes. I'm sovereign. We have to be careful. God gives find their places, and we have to recognize it. Lest we show an attitude towards the giver. Cast not your pearls before swine. Brother Bam's interpreting. For a big group, he's saying, I could speak to 10,000. He said, but cast not your pearl before swine. They turn and trample them under your feet. Then will turn and rent you. See? But you don't cast your pearls there. I feel that what I say here is not casting pearls before swine. Notice here, what I say here, I believe it's not. I think it's showing children. I think it's showing, children, jewels that belong to them. In other words, I think speaking to you is going to be showing children the jewels that belong to them. Scriptures declare and cannot change. Hear, O Israel. Israel is a type of the church. The Lord our God is one Jehovah. And in the definition, we know I'm talking about it like if we are children. This all caps always mean Jehovah. Capital G-O-D always is Elohim. The original form of it. So, it says, Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. Jeremiah 24:7 that we took up, it says, and I will give them a heart to know me. I will give them a heart to know me. Okay? Now, that one has to be Jehovah God. Is that right? That's the me. And thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind. So this becomes your first commandment. Can never change. If you move from there, you die. That's your first commandment. We must not move from there. Paul says, in 1 Corinthians 10:15, I speak as to wise men. In other words, a lot of people who are not converted, they're just not going to be able to understand the greatest revelation in the Bible, which is under that seventh seal. They're not going to do it because there is no gene there. If you understand it, it's because you are trusting in your IQ. We are not. We are trusting in a gene. Unless you are born again, you cannot see or understand. Now, we have problems about other doctrines, polygamy, two soul, Joseph is a prophet, Brother Branham is God, this, that, all foolishness. They have problems with that. How about if you, how much more you need a gene when it comes to the greatest revelation, the capstone revelation, which is the Godhead? You say, what are you saying? I'm saying that, brother, if you take 10 people and put them in a room, all believers of the message, you take, let's say you take a man that you believe is really solid with truth, he's born again, a born again minister, put him in that room, let him speak on a subject, I guarantee all 10 will not agree. Because not everyone in a message church is converted. Not everyone is baptized with the Holy Ghost. And that is what happens. Whether it's lay members or ministers together, they are not. They, without birth, we are not going to see. But watch the scriptures. Watch Isaiah 54:13. And they shall all be taught of God. All thy children shall be taught of God. If all thy children shall be taught of God, how come we come out with different ideas? It's because we do not know who are the children of God unless we see who aligns with teaching. Teaching determines who your father is. The two spirits which are twins will be so close, they'll deceive the very elect if possible, but you'll know them by their fruits. He said that's their teaching. So today you can judge this teaching. See which father it belongs to. Now, why I'm saying this is because we have an absolute. The message and the messenger is an absolute. Amen. It means an absolute means that cannot change regardless what. What he says cannot change. It means that we do not trust commentaries. We do not trust dictionaries. Commentaries and dictionaries might be aids, but if it contradicts what the absolute says, we got to leave that alone. You see, you've got to leave it alone. A prophet is a divine interpreter of the Word of God. His interpretation supersedes all commentaries and dictionaries written by man. All right, watch this. Now, Father, we realize this group of people here, and now what I say, I have to answer for at the day of judgment. This is your children. Now, this is power transformation, okay? Then he goes on to say, we're living in the bride age. The calling, the bringing back to God, a bride bringing back to God through a channel. That channel is a prophet. You see, through a channel that he promised to bring it back. He promised to do it. But it has been in every age, people let man put their own interpretation to it by theology. Even message ministry as myself, I cannot trust commentaries, dictionaries, if it is contrary to what the absolute says. Amen. Not what I say, what somebody else say, but what God has promised and what God does proves that it is God doing his own interpreting of his word. Right? Hebrew and Greek view of God, according to our beloved prophet. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Consider what a prophet Paul says, a messenger. Consider what Brother Branham says. Consider means take it into yourself, meditate, pray about it, saturate your mind with it, pray about it, and God give you understanding. You see, it doesn't come just like that. You see, you've got to consider what is said. And then trust the Lord and look for his understanding of it. So here we start with the definition of God. This is the mighty God unveiled before us. 1964, the seals are already open. You can make anything a God. But in the Old Testament, in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God, the word used there is Elohim. Elohim means the self-existent one. Now, in the dictionary, that's not so. In the Hebrew dictionary, that is not so. But who should we take? Whose word or definition should we take? Because if you look at the definition of Elohim, it means judges, it means rulers, it means godlike. But it doesn't say anything about a creator. But Genesis 1:1 says Elohim created. So it means he had to be before creation. He existed before anything existed. We cannot use where the definitions of dictionaries and commentaries, amen, is contrary to a vindicated prophet. We take what a vindicated prophet says. We let everything else go. We must. Means the self-existent one. What a difference the word Elohim is to our word God. Elohim means self-existent one. We cannot be self-existent. He cannot be almighty. So I want you to notice right away, Jehovah Elohim is one. When you take Jehovah Elohim, the definition must come from a prophet now. Because he's the only one who can unveil God. You say, Brother Tony, what about the word written? The word written must be interpreted by the one who wrote it. And God wrote the word through prophets, and he's got to interpret it through prophets. So even the language of the Hebrew, amen, can't hide God until God is ready to bring a prophet and reveal it. Here's what he says. What a difference the word Elohim is to our word God. Elohim means self-existent one. We cannot be self-existent. We cannot be almighty, omnipotent, omnipresent. So I am just going to just right away start with this. This Jehovah Elohim is omnipotent. Which means he is the creator. Is that right? He's the creator. And he is the sustainer. He creates, he could sustain. If he could create and he could sustain, he can sustain it even when it is corrupted. It's called healing or restoration. And when you're sick and you're healed, you say, I'm restored to health. Is that right? And when you're sick, it is because your body is corrupt. So he can stop corruption. Healing means a man who can stop corruption. He can stop corruption. He can create a new man, or a new heavens, or a new earth, because he created the first one. Then since he is omnipotent, he is almighty, so there's no one can challenge him and win. So he is El, the El strong one. He is the healer. He is the protector of the poor. He is the defender. And he is El, so he is a strong one. So if you can get strength, he can give you strength. He can strengthen you. He can establish you. It's him. He's the one that can do it. He's the creator. He is the healer. He is the sustainer, the defender, the protector. That's what omnipotent ends up being. That's all summarize it by saying he is the Almighty. Right? So I can say there is none like him. I can say there is none like him. Right? He is self-existing. He happened. He created before there was a creator. He had to exist. Okay. Second. Then it says this same one is, I'm going to do it down here, omniscient. Which means he knows all things. Okay? He knows all things. So I'm just going to break that down. If he knows all things, he is the all-wise God. 1 Timothy 1:17, he's the all-wise God. You believe that? The King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. So if he knows all things, he is the source of all wisdom. Right? Job 28:12. Where can wisdom be found? It's not found in the land of the living. It's not found under the sea. The birds can't find it. So where's wisdom to be found? Wisdom is to be found only in God. If he is the source of all wisdom, then he designed the heavens and the earth. It is his wisdom you're seeing with death, burial, and resurrection of the sun, the stars, the moon, whatever wisdom it is his wisdom. His wisdom is that Bible. Therefore, he is the one with the thoughts in the beginning. He has a purpose. Therefore, he is the Word. It is his thoughts. It is his Word. It is his Bible. Therefore, if he knows all things, he is the one who put your names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Therefore, he is the one who knows all. The foundation of God stands for that God knows his own. This is God, the only one true God. He knows his own. If he's the one who knows, he's the one who knows who is his own. So when he came to Abraham, he came to Abraham. He didn't come to Lot. Because Lot was not in his mind as an elect. I don't know why I'm taking this off. I don't need to take it off. I'm so used to it, back and forth. All right, so I'm asking you, who wrote the book of life? And who put the names in there? Him. The one true God. The self-existent one. So whose book is it? Whose word is it? Whose thoughts is it? Whose wisdom is it? This is important now. He is the Word now. So if he is the Word, he is the one who can judge all things. Because to be a judge, you have to have wisdom. He can judge all things. And that will make him a righteous judge. So this is the Ancient of Days. Him, only him, is the one true judge. Where's that photo? Is that a judge there?
Yes.
Oh my. And if he is the truth, the word, and the judge, then nothing can hide from him. Oh, nothing can hide from him, Brother Larry. Amen. That's why when you stand before him in the form of a prophet in this hour, he can tell you your name and where you come from and what you did. He can tell you where you live. And he can discern the thoughts of the heart. And the other one who is speaking says, it's not me. I've got to, you know who I'm waiting for. He can judge the thoughts of the heart. Say, if you have a secret, don't tell nobody, not even your wife. Don't tell anybody. Otherwise, somebody will know. That's the only way they'll know. Not even Satan knows your thoughts in your heart. Only God knows that. And the only way your wife will know is if you talk in your sleep. That's the only way she will know. See? But he knows. All right, so if you don't mind, can I put 1 Corinthians 4 and 5 up there? Everybody's okay? Oh my. You're getting comfortable, aren't you? Oh, all the little fear is moving away, huh? Okay. All the boogeyman. Watch 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. And let's see if we can start making this Bible a new book. Therefore, judge nothing before the time. You see that word time? It's an important word. Hit on it. Hit on the word time. It is not chronos. This is chronos. Chronos in the Greek is chronological time. This word is kairos. It's a due measure. It's a measure of time. Okay? It's a time that brings an opportunity. It's a seasonal time. You see, like harvest time don't come all the time. Is that right? So when a prophet comes to preach harvest time, that don't come around all the time. That comes around summertime. That comes around in the rising of the sun, not the stars, not the moon, not the church ages. He's introducing rapture time. See? So this word has to do with a season that brings an opportunity. Let's go back. So judge nothing before that time that brings an opportunity until the Lord comes. Now, this is the Lord that comes. In the Greek, there is no such thing as all caps. Only in the Hebrew to distinguish the true God. There's only one word for Lord in the Greek. But in the Hebrew, you could distinguish him. But in the Greek, it takes a revelation. So it says, until the Lord come. Who is that Lord? Him. Because he knows the secrets of the heart. Who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of who? Didn't that happen before us? And who did he say was doing that? Did he not say the same one that knew the secret in Sarah's heart? And didn't the prophet call him Elohim? Didn't the prophet call him Jehovah that was Abraham? Well then, that's the Lord. That is not the coming of the Lord then. That is the Lord appearing in the form of a prophet. Amen. Stay. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12 now. Let's read it very carefully. For the word of God. Now, you see, for me now, since the Greek does not have capital letters, they only have lowercase letters, and the translators only translated what they believe is a noun with caps. They have to depend on them. But for us, we have a message. You see, for the word of God, they should have capitalized that. Because doctrine is not a discern of the thought of the heart. It's a being. It's a being. It's a noun. You see, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even, dividing the sun of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, is a discerner. You see, is the doctrine a discerner? It's a being. It is discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now watch the language. Watch how he comes back now. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in. Not its sight. His sight. That is talking about him. There is nothing hid from him. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him. With whom we have to do. Amen. That's Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12 is him. The Lord who will bring all the hidden things. It's him. Amen. Oh, I got carried away. Omniscient. He knows all things. So if he knows all things, nothing can hide from him. Therefore, he is the discerner. And if he knows all things, he knows who's guilty and who's not guilty. And he knows who's in the book and who's not in the book. Amen. He wrote the book. Agreed? Then there's one more. Omnipresent. And the prophet interprets that God is omnipresent, not like the wind or the air or the atmosphere. He's teaching us things we don't know about our God. He said he is not like the wind or like the air or like the atmosphere. He said he's omnipresent because he knows all things. Amen. And because he knows all things, it is like he's everywhere. Because like I always say, if I'm here and I know what's going on at home with my wife, it's like I'm there. Is that right? But I don't know. I don't know what she's doing with those credit cards. I don't know. But he knows all things at all times. Therefore, he's like he's omnipresent. But he only comes in junctions of time. He is not here all the time. He comes in junctions of time. And anytime he comes, there's a major prophet in the land. Because he does not speak to regular people. I'll make myself known unto prophets. So this presence of God operates in three different ways. First, we have what is called personal presence. Amen. That is when he himself comes down and is present with a prophet. Then you have what is two. It's called representative present. And representative present is when he calls men, like Luther, represent his representative present, because the being is not with Luther. He sends an angel, one of seven angels before the throne to Luther. It's called representative present. An idea of representative present is your pastor on here. He represents the presence of God to you. Is that right? And then three, you have heavenly angels. They represent the presence. I come from the presence of God. Is that right? What is he doing? He's bringing the presence of God. And fourth, he's omnipresent because he knows all things by knowledge. I'm going to leave this here because we're going to need it. So let me see if he says, we cannot be almighty. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. That Elohim expresses all of that. We cannot be that. The tree that you make a god out of or a building is non-existent. Look, watch now. Psalms 103. Bless the Lord. You see that word Jehovah? That's this one. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So every good and perfect gift come from him. Are you amening? Okay, now remember now. If you're amen in this, you're going to have to continue. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, forget all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? So who is the justifier of the ungodly? Who justified Abraham? Who justified David and said, blessed is the man who God will not impute sin? It's him, isn't it? Who healeth all thy diseases. Wait a minute. I thought there's only one healer. Is that him? He is the only healer there is. I'm going to leave the rest. Now, he made known his way unto Moses. So this is the one that was with Moses. And if he was the one with Moses, that was in the fatherhood. I might as well just go on to the next one. And Moses said, the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. That became the Son of God. And this Jehovah, in the form of a pillar of fire, came in him at the Jordan. And that became sonship. Okay. He made his acts unto the children of Israel. What was the acts? He created the frogs. He parted the Red Sea. He created out of nothing. Is that right? Is it him? It was not. He used Moses' mouth, but it was him. Amen. Now remember, prophet like unto Moses. All right. Now I'm going to say this with you. I'm very careful what I say. Now remember what we're doing. We are defining God according to a prophet. We are defining, making a complete definition. Without this, we can't go forward. We need to define Him according to a prophet, where we make no mistakes. I'm going to say this to you. I'm very careful what I say to you. If you don't understand it, then ask me. See, write it back to me if you don't understand it. Just say what I say here. And I, and you, and Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. Trying to do God a service. And there they die spiritually. You can't tell them nothing. They get that stuff drilled into them. Why? These bishops said this. And this said this. And this said this. The dictionary said this. The commentary said this. You show them right here in the Word of God where it's thus say the Lord. But our pastor, I don't care what your pastor says. I don't care what I say. Brother Bam sounds rude there, doesn't he? Sounds almost arrogant. Doesn't it? I don't care what your pastor says. I don't care what I say or anybody else says. It is contrary to God's vindicated word, the hour, the time, the message, and so forth. Forget it. Stay away from it. I've got to stand before every one of you in the day of judgment. You know that. Now, come back to the definition again. When God in the Bible, the word Genesis 1 said in the beginning, God, now that word is Elohim. Take that name God in the Hebrew and see what it means. It spells Ella, Ella, Elohim, which means the all self-existent one, the all-sufficient one, the strong one. There was nothing before that. Notice Elohim, Elohim, in this original Hebrew dictionary meaning, has nothing to do with what the prophet is saying here. It means judge, it means ruler, it means many things. But the prophet is interpreting. He's interpreting scripture, Genesis 1:1. He says, the self-existent one, the all-sufficient one, the strong one. There was nothing before that. In other words, if He created the heavens and the earth, He had to exist before it. So He's taking it based on revelation. There was no air, there was no stars, there was no moisture, there was no atmosphere, there was no atoms, there was no molecules. There was nothing before that. It was God, the eternal one. So I'm going to stop right there. Eternal one. Meaning, no beginning. Is that right? Therefore, He has no end. Are you sure? Do you mind if right away I just put Melchizedek here? Huh? No mother, no father, no beginning of days, no end of... You don't mind if I do that, do you? That's Melchizedek. That's Hebrews chapter 7, isn't it? All right. Okay. There was no atmosphere. There was no... Okay, He's the eternal one. Questions and answers. That's the reason. If you believe what I say, listen carefully what He says. If you believe what I say, then do what I say. Amen. You see? Then do what I say, see? Then listen to me. Believe me as your brother. If you believe me to be a prophet, don't misinterpret my words. In other words, you cannot leave what He taught. Isn't that amazing? The ones who say this, they love it and stay with it, don't stay with it. It's amazing. And don't add to it or take away from it. Just do it just the way I say it. See? Because I'm telling you from my heart, the best that I know. See? You just believe that. Just take just what I say about it and just leave it. Leave it go like that. Proven His word. I speak to you just as sincerely as I know. A dying man with you. See, leaving this world, we've got to leave. And I must have an account at the day of judgment for what I say. I'm conscious of that. Very conscious. This is a man who just doesn't make statements, Brother Blair, just to make it. He knows the impact on doctrine. He knows the impact. How we ministers are going to hold to it. So the unveiling of God now. Now, if you notice the word there, Greek word, I may have this wrong, but the one I could find, You have to watch words. The English sometimes means double meaning, just like the word we say God. God created the heavens and the earth. But now, in the Bible, it says, in the beginning, Elohim. Now, Elohim, the English calls God. But it really wasn't Elohim. Anything can be God. The word God can, you can make an idol a God. You can make a piano a God. You can make anything a God. But it isn't so in the word Elohim. It means self-existent one. See, the piano cannot be self-existent. Nothing can be self-existent. Existent. So the word Elohim means he that always existed. Now you'll never get that in a commentary, and you'll never get that in a dictionary. Amen. He that always existed. God can mean anything. See the difference? So this is why I tell you, when I tell you, especially when I'm dealing with ministers, I tell you to look at the unveiling of God. You've got to look at the Hebrew. Because the Greek, he's telling you, in the English, he said you can make anything a God. Their definition is an object of worship. But the Hebrew says, don't worship anything unless it's self-existent. And since everything was created, that means there's only one self-existent one. You see, but it isn't so with the word Elohim, the self-existent one. A piano cannot be self-existent. Nothing else can be self-existent. So the word Elohim means he that exists. God can mean anything. You see the difference? And Abraham called the man Elohim. Elohim is the self-existent one. Watch Jonah 1 and 9. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew. So this is a Hebrew. Hebrew should know their God, shouldn't they? He's a prophet. And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, Jonah speaking, and I fear Jehovah, the Elohim. So Jehovah Elohim is the one that we respect. Of heaven, which had made the sea and the dry land. Notice how he tied Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, Jehovah Elohim as the creator. Ties him with the creator. Even though in Genesis 1 it says Elohim created the heavens and the earth, he ties it with Jehovah as the creator. But Jehovah is the true God. Jeremiah 10 and 10. Jehovah is the true Elohim. He is the living God and an everlasting king. So there's the king, eternal, immortal, invisible right there. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nation shall not be able to abide in his indignation. So he is the one that turns into judge. It is his wrath. And this is life eternal, that they might know the only true God. So this is the only true God. And now we have been introduced to Jesus Christ. And who is that? 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us there is but one God, the Father. So here we are introduced with this Jehovah here being called Father in the New Testament. His Son. Does that change the fact that there's one true and living God? Hasn't changed anything yet. Not one single thing has changed. There is still only one true and living God. Again. 1 Corinthians. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. The English word God means anything. English words, you have to watch them because they have all kinds of perverted ideas. A God, this desk could be a God. A tree could be a God. A man could be a God. Anything the English word God means. Elohim means self-existent. There can only, this desk is not self-existent. This man is not self-existent. The tree is not self-existent. But Elohim is self-existent. Manifesting flesh, standing there, eating and drinking milk. So this is the one that appeared to Abraham. So this is the one that changed their bodies. this is the one that discerns. This is the one that says, when Abraham says, will not the judge of all the earth do right? This was the judge. Isn't that all right? Abraham said, will not the judge of all the earth do right? What happened? When he looked to Sodom and he looked back to Abraham, Abraham saw that picture. Will judge, not judge, the judge of all the earth do right? One more. Well, he said, and I don't have to take this time. I didn't realize that this here is a problem. This simple thing. God, like the beginning, he was just God. Well, he wasn't really God. He was just eternal. God, our English word means object of worship. There you go. And there was nothing to worship him. He was self-existent, Elohim. So there was nothing to worship him. So he was just a great eternal. Now, what was that? That man that talked to Abraham called, Abraham called him God. Capital L-O-R-D. And any Bible scholar knows the self-existent one, Elohim. He ties the two together. Elohim. Jehovah Elohim is the one true self-existing God. Okay, I'm going to close these off. And we are going to look now. Same scriptures. Brother Bam said there's only one God and we worship that God. So do you mind if we say we worship the Father? Would that be a problem? Would it be that we worship Jehovah? Elohim? He cannot, Brother Bram cannot introduce another God, can he? The God of the Old Testament must be the God of the New Testament. So, he says here, and hear ye him, there's only one God and we worship that God. Hear, O Israel, our Jehovah is our Jehovah, our Elohim is one Jehovah. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, I'm going to set this up like this. Do you believe that we have, I can take this off because, do you believe that we have an Elijah today? Do you believe we have a Moses today? So I'm going to put here Elijah and Moses. Do you believe in the days of Elijah there was a Jezebel? There was an Ahab. There was a Jezebel daughter. There was priest of Baal. There was priest. There was a house and house and altar of Baal. Do you believe there was a Zedekiah? The prophet said, our Zedekiah today was the Pope, the 400 prophets, the World Council of Churches, the daughters of the mother, harlot, Jezebel, the Roman Catholic Church. He tapped Ahab in different ways. America. Is that right? He tapped in different ways. But I want to ask you. So, then, what was Elijah against in the days of Elijah? He was against Baal. Now the question about it is, where is Baal today? Where is the Baal for him to be against? What was he against? If we can find out what Elijah was against, we'll know what Baal is today. Do you believe that we are an Exodus people? You believe that? We are under a token, a pillar of fire, a prophet. We are called out of Egypt. You believe that? All right. Okay, so let's go to Malachi, if you don't mind. Let's go to Malachi chapter 4. It's kind of slow. I'm taking my time. I don't want to rush it. Okay? I hope everything I read so far was what Brother Branham said and not my ideas. Fourth verse. Now, Brother, our Elijah, do you believe that we had an Elijah today? And do you believe we had a Moses today? Isn't that right? Now watch Elijah. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all Israel with statutes and judgments. Well, what happened in Horeb? What happened to Horeb? Remember. So, and then the second thing now, behold, I send you Elijah. So in Malachi, we have the introduction to go back to Moses, and we have an introduction, hey, I'm going to send you an Elijah. Right? You think this was by accident? You think this is coincidence? I don't believe so. So let us go back now and see what the problem was with Elijah. Let's see what Elijah's against. 1 second, let's read it. Abraham's covenant, Brother Abraham says, no, sir, I am not a oneness, not at all. I am not Trinity either. I'm not a oneness, and I'm not a Trinity. I know nobody here is a Trinity. So we want to know, what is this oneness about? What is this oneness about? Questions and answers. Now somebody says Brother Branham is a oneness. That's Elijah now. Somebody says Elijah is a oneness. No, sir, I'm not a oneness. I do not believe that Jesus could be his own father. I believe Jesus had a father, and that was God. So a oneness is one who believes that Jesus and God is one like this. You'll hear them say, he has a human nature and he has a divine nature. So when they say, he died, they say, oh, that's the flesh died. They don't make the flesh a complete man. That's just flesh. But the prophet destroyed it. He said, God left him in Gethsemane. So who took that body up there? Isn't that right? So they don't know what to do with it. So this is oneness. Now there are more than one reason why oneness is a problem. There's oneness group under Jesus only. They're a little different. One, they believe in water baptism regeneration. Is that right? They believe in regeneration, water baptism regeneration. And some of them baptize in Jesus Christ. But the apostolic oneness in America baptized in Lord Jesus Christ too. So they've become quite tricky over the years. They developed. I do not believe that Jesus could be his own father. I believe that Jesus had a father and that was God. I want to examine this oneness here. Now there's one God. Can that change? No. So if there's one God who is self-existent, and Jesus cannot be his own father, and you say Jesus is God, and he has a beginning, he's son of God, he's son. If you take him as God, you already have him that you cannot change as God. How much God does oneness have? They have two gods, but they don't know it. They are really polytheistic, but they don't know it. You see, they don't know it. Now, I am not saying, listen, we are all guilty of this. We were all this. It's just the grace of God by a message and a prophet to come on the scene, but myself and everybody else is in it. Or was in it, and we would have been in it, continuing it, if not for the grace of God. You see, but what happened is that the message will, over the years, have been so seeded. It has been so seeded in us. Now it's hard for us to make a change. You say, what do you mean, Brother Tony? I'm going to give you an example. This is the capstone revelation, Brother Branham said, Brother Blair. He says the greatest revelation there is in the Bible. He said you can't even get your water baptism straightened out without it. He said, you can't get on base one without it. Right? Now, for the last 25 years, how many conventions did you ever hear somebody take the Godhead? You mean the greatest revelation? And nobody wants to touch it? Or it must be so simple that a child can receive it? You mean somebody just walk out the street? They just walk out the street, you give them a church age book. And for the minute you give them a church age book, they call the revelation. The greatest, they can argue over every other doctrine. But no minister argues with each other about Godhead. Not one. It's because there is a strong delusion to keep us under a lie. Because if you've got a wrong Jesus, you're going to get a wrong gospel. Or a wrong message. Use the quote, but it's still wrong. You say, prove it to me. Let me ask you, the Trinity has a wrong Jesus? I ask you, isn't their gospel different from yours? Now, if the oneness denomination, don't they have a wrong Jesus? Well, isn't their gospel wrong? Well, then how come it can be right in our message? It is also wrong. But they don't know it not. And we are not saying that we are better. We are just trying to say, search it. Be honest. Pray about it. Amen. Give the Holy Spirit a chance. Okay, let's see. So I believe that Jesus had a father and that was God. So Jesus' father is God. This is Jesus' father. Everybody okay? All right. Now, we're going to read again. I don't want it to be one little quote in a corner somewhere. See? And I know what you're saying. But Brother Bam said, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Yeah. He's God by revelation. Amen. Let me give you a simple. Has anybody seen God at any time? Can anybody see God? Are you sure? Well, if Jesus is God like this, everybody saw him. And if Jesus is God like this and everybody saw him, why did the prophet come and preach the only way to know God is through characteristics? I said, no, I know him. There's the body. There's him. Wouldn't you love to do that? If no man at any time had seen God, and if God can only be known by his characteristics, then how can he be God like this? And if he's God like this, why do I need a revelation? I mean, a child can get that. Watch what the prophet said, manifestations of God. Now Jesus said, As you have believed in God, believe also in me. Is that right? They were God believers, believed in his Father. But they must believe that he was the Son sent from the Father. Is that right? Not the Father. So the Son is never his Father. The Son is never his Father. You say, Brother Tony, no, that can't be true. I'm going to ask you. Brother Branham says that God is a God of order and he's a God that does not pervert nature. He said the natural types are spiritual. You find a Son who is his own Father for me and I will believe that. Can a son be his own father ever? Can a father become his own son? Wow, there's something here. This is a rule of thumb that keeps us straight. You see, that he was the Son of God sent from the Father. Is that right? Not the Father, but he was the Son sent from the Father. Hebrews now. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days or end of life. But he was made like unto the Son of God, abided a priest continually. Now watch. He wasn't the Son of God. He was the God of the Son. He wasn't the Son of God. Melchizedek wasn't, but he was the Father of the Son of God. And we just said Melchizedek was the Jehovah Elohim. And he's saying this cannot be the Son. But this is his father. Follow. Let's keep working on it. On Mount Zion will set a lamp, and the city will need no light, for the lamp is the light thereof. And above the lamp will be the Father, which is the Logos, God, the great light, the eternal light that shine above the throne. And Jesus will not be on his Father's throne. This is future home. This is when we go back. Is there still going to be a Father and a Son? Yes. Absolute. That's the order. There's still going to be a Father and a Son. Even in the future home, he will not be his own Father. Show us the Father. There's only one God. And I differ and disagree with organization of Pentecost that called the oneness like your finger is one. That's wrong. That's absolutely wrong. It's wrong. Jesus couldn't be his own Father. And if God is a man, then Jesus was sexual desire and not virgin birth. That settles the whole thing. You see, if he is one like your finger, then what? He was his own daddy. How could he have been? That's wrong. He had a father, Jesus did. Hebrews again. Consider. Now consider how great this man was. Consider how great this man. He is beyond the Son of God. The Son of God had father and mother. He didn't. The Son of God had beginning of time and end of time. He didn't. Who was that? That was the Father of the Son. That's who it was. So this Son has one of the key things, he has a beginning. The Father God has no beginning. That's important to us because the Father is the self-existent one. If the Father is the self-existent one, he is the one true God. All right, follow again. I said, we'll do it down as simple as we know how to. Now, let's see how much now. The Spirit of God, like a dove, descended and a voice from heaven, which was above him, saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell in." That was God coming into Jesus. Wait a minute. If you make Jesus God, how many gods you got there now? And in him dwell the fullness of the Godhead. There's your Father, Son, Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Paradox. Now look at this 12-year-old boy. Not knowing what he said. He was just 12, just a boy. He was the Word. See, he said, "Know ye not I must be about my Father's business." See, the Word correcting the error. See, because he is a prophet like unto Moses. The Word. The prophet come to the Word. The Word come to the prophet. And this little boy, 12-year-old child, no wisdom at all. No wisdom at all. Why? He's just 12-year-old boy. The Father didn't dwell in him at that time because he come on the day when he was baptized him. He saw the Spirit of God coming down. See when he went in? But look, this little 12-year-old boy being the Word, he was born the anointed one. See? To be the anointed. In other words, he did not become Christ until the Jordan River. He was born to be the Christ, but he didn't become it until the Jordan River. Now we see him at the work. Now Jesus was born for one purpose, and that was for God to manifest him through a body. He was born for one purpose. That was for God to manifest himself through that body. God was in Christ reconciling the world. He was the body that was made physical, that man and woman could see what he taught and his expression to the people, his gratefulness and his attitude towards all mankind. He expressed it through Christ. Christ seemed to be a dual personality. He would speak sometimes and they'll scratch their heads. They didn't understand him. He'll speak one thing one time, look like, and seem something else another time. What was it? What it was Jesus speaking and then Christ speaking. Now, I want you to notice this. The quote before says, The quote before says, he was born the anointed one to be the anointed. This word anointed takes two things. It takes a man who is a prophet and the Spirit of God to be the anointed. Two things. You see? So there is the Christ who is the anointed one and there's Christ who is the anointing. So here's what a prophet says. He speak one thing one time, it looked like something else another. What was it? It was Jesus speaking, then Christ speaking. Jesus was the man. Christ was the God that was in him. It's not me that doeth the works, my Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. See, God will not share his glory with no one. Blasphemous names. Now look, what was their fuss with Jesus? Their fuss with Jesus, because he was a man making himself God, he was God. God was in Christ, that's how he was, incarnate God. See, he told them, he said, don't look at me, it's not me, it's my Father that dwells in me. Oh, see. Now they was looking at that little body that was born of Mary. See, that wasn't God. That was the Son of God. But God was in that body. But if I do not the works, though ye can't believe me, believe the works that I do. For they testify. Otherwise the Father is in me testifying. See? Father and Son. The Father was Almighty Jehovah, God dwelling in a tabernacle called Jesus Christ, which was the anointed Son of God. Jesus was a man. God is a spirit. And no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten of the Father had declared him. What is he declaring? He's declaring his personality, his being, his deity. Whatever he was God. Because if you have an image, to have an express image, it must be equal to the object. If you don't see everything in the object, you don't have an express image. And since God cannot be seen, this is God. If you miss God in the Son, you'll never see God. This is God to us because that's the only God we can see. Because this object is invisible. All right. So now, Jesus was a man. He was just a man, a virgin born man. That's right. He was the Son of God. His Father was Jehovah God Almighty. So he's not his own father. It's not him. All right? Now we're coming down to the nitty gritty here. If there's an Elijah, there's a Jezebel, there's daughters, there's Baal, there's Ezekiel, there's Zedekiah, there's a priest of Baal, there are worshippers. All right? How many of you people Trinitarian got that mixed up? How many of you oneness people got it mixed up? Of him being one like your finger. See, they both of them got it mixed up. See, that's right. He is one God like your finger. How could he be his own father? So what is Brother Branham again? He is against oneness and he is our Elijah. So Baal worship is oneness worship. Baal worship. What is Elijah against? Baal. What is our Elijah against? Oneness. Now he's going to destroy the Trinity and the oneness right here. Here's how he's going to do it. Now, Jesus cannot be his own father, so he destroyed the oneness. Right? You agree with that? Now he's going to destroy the Trinity. And if he had a father outside of the Holy Ghost, if God is a man, a person, then the Holy Ghost was his father, and God is his father. So, Matthew 1. So then he was an illegitimate child. You see? So what Brother Branham is telling you is this. What is he telling you? He said, the Catholics say Father is one person, Son is one person, and Holy Ghost is one person. The Son says God is his father. The Bible said the Holy Ghost conceived him. A man cannot have two fathers. Then that makes the doctrine wrong. A man cannot have two fathers. So therefore, this is wrong. He destroyed the Trinity. He destroyed the oneness. In one simple statement. He was God manifest in his creative Son. Now that God created the Son. So the Son is created. The Son is a created. He has a beginning. That's the key. If the Son has a beginning, he could not be the self-existent one. Because all sons have beginning. And if you deny the Son, if you deny there is a Son, then you are Antichrist according to the Scriptures. Alright? So let's put that up one time. 1 John 2:22. Now, this scripture only comes in effect at the opening of the seals because Luther was a Trinitarian, and in the Pentecostal age, there was oneness and Trinity, and both of them were being saved until the opening of the Word. So, this scripture comes into effect in our day. in our day, it comes into effect. Who is a liar but he that denied Jesus is the Christ? He's Antichrist that denied the Father and the... For him to be Christ, the anointed one, the Holy Ghost have to come on him. He has to be a son, and then the Holy Ghost come. You have the Father and the Son. If you deny that, then you make it one, like your finger. He is Antichrist that denied the Father and the Son. When? Not before the seals. After the seals are open. After a prophet has come and revealed the true and living God to us. Amen. Amen. It was Brother Chisholm of the Oneness. Now, many of you people listening to this would say, Brother Branham is a Oneness. I am not. I think you are both wrong, both Oneness and Trinity. See, where there's where you Oneness brethren went on one side, Trinity went on the other. But the true message lays in the center of the road. Now, you say, Brother Tony, is Oneness a problem? Here's what Brother Branham said, 64. I got thousands of Trinity friends. They're in that Babylon. I've got a lot of Oneness friends in that Babylon too. Is Oneness Babylon? Yes, it perverts the Bible and the Scriptures. Now, where did it come from? Now, at the Nicaea Council, you know that's a very bad place. At the Nicaea Council, there come two great decisions. One of them was a triune God, a Trinity. The other one was a one God. You say, what's wrong with a one God? That's the Oneness. One God. And they both come into existence and went on two straight limbs out like that. Oneness became Unitarian, just as far wrong as the other one was. So they went on limbs, but right in here reveals the truth. Jesus could not be his own father. Neither if he had a father outside of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost conceived him and he said God was his father. If you reject the true and living God, that's this one, there is only one other thing left you can do, and that is an untrue God or a false God, which is a oneness. In the days of Elijah, the whole world was deceived by Baal. Only 7,000 was not deceived. So Satan, the old serpent, Revelation 12 and 9, deceives the world. Even the message world, except for the elect. Amen. Except for the elect. I believe it's a dangerous time, brother. I really do. Again, now there's a group of people call themselves Oneness or Jesus only. I don't agree with them on their theory, neither I agree with their Trinitarian group. But I believe that there are three, Father, Son, Holy Ghost is one. That there are three offices of one God. He lived in fatherhood in the pillar of fire. He lived in sonship in Jesus. And he lived now in the Holy Ghost. All right. I better take this quickly. Now, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Matthew 28:19. Now watch this carefully. Let's take the Trinity first. The Trinity said this is one person, two person, three person. Right? No, Brother Bram said these are not persons. He said there is one God. Now anybody know who that one God is? Him. In three offices. So this is not nouns. They say it's person. He said, no, there's not no three person. He said, this is dispensation. This is an office. This has nothing to do with a noun. This is not a noun. Otherwise, you're going to have three nouns. And Brother Bram said, they are not persons. And a person, place, a name of a person, place, and thing is a noun. This is not nouns then. This is not nouns. But this is dispensations. And this is called the dispensation of fatherhood, is the pillar of fire veiled in Moses or the prophets. And that's called fatherhood. Then the Lord thy God shall raise up a prophet like unto me. And that is the Son, Jesus. Then the pillar of fire comes now and dwells at him on the Jordan River. That's called sonship. Then this goes up on the throne, and this pillar of fire, this one God pillar of fire that was in Moses and Christ, comes back on the day of Pentecost. This is not the name of the Holy Spirit here. It's not a noun. It's the pillar of fire coming now and veil himself in the disciples. Let's put Paul here. That's Holy Ghost ship. That's the one God. So we got a problem, don't you? You say, well, why do you call the one God the Lord Jesus Christ? We are coming there. Okay, I'm closing it up. And we're going to get in here. Is there one God? True. Is there a Father and a Son? Let's get that out of the way. What is he doing? He's writing his first Bible. Notice the human beings once called towards the heavens. Look towards the heavens. Today he's got a Bible wrote here, but he wrote it in the heavens that man could look up and realize Jehovah the Creator lived above. He doesn't change his doctrine, the one true existing God. Then I can see him. He looked at that. I can see him speak to this world hanging there, an icicle, whatever it was, away. And he moved it over here. I can see a little light God. Now you've got, I can't read that. Can you read that? Now we've got hot. Are you sure? That's almost unforgivable for you to read that and say that there are two. Now we've got two. Oh, the prophet can say it, but we cannot. You see, if the prophet say it is okay, but if you say it, you must believe in two gods. How much you got now? Two. The Father, and out of the Father came the light, the Son. All right, we're in it. Who had ascended up into the heavens? Or who had guarded the winds in his fist? Who had bound the waters in a garment? Who had established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his? So now the mystery is in the name. What is God's name? And what is his Son's name? Okay, now we've got all those things together, all made all other things, all animal, bees, monkeys, whatever it was. He put them here on earth. And then he said, ask this question, let us, who? Father and Son make man in our image. Is there a Father and is there a Son? How many gods? Thank you. Now, we'll notice close in Genesis 1:26. Let us get the first part. God said, let us make man in our image. Of course, we realize he's talking to someone. He was talking to another being. Show us the Father. There's one God. And I differ and disagree with the organization of Pentecost that calls the oneness like your finger one. That's wrong. Absolutely. Jesus could not have been his own Father. Now, let's see if Jesus really has a Father. Call no man your Father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. How many fathers do we have? One. Okay. So how do you pray in John Matthew 6? Pray, our Father. Now you see. Okay, let's look again. Look, Jesus come to manifest the Father. Therefore, the Jews sought to kill more to kill him because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he said God was his Father. In John 20:17, Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But now go to my brethren. Well, if he's my brethren, they must all come from the same Father. And say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, your Father. His Father is my Father, and his God is my God. Because he is the firstborn of many brethren. Watch Paul. Paul was not a oneness. He was not a oneness. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Paul again. But to us there is but one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. Paul believed in a Father and a Son. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is... ye are Christ and Christ is God's. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's got a God and he's got a Father. Who had blessed us in all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Matthew chapter 17 and 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here he is. To the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, he may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, who is the source of all wisdom and revelation? Him. You just told me that here. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father in truth. I'm going to skip these. Okay, we are just developing Father and Son. I want to make sure that we are not being deceived. How would you like that, Pat? I don't want to be deceived. It is also written in your laws that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bear witness of me. How many is that? Well, if there were one like your finger, he couldn't say that. That would break Moses' law. Wouldn't it? Follow again. Skipping the laws. Anyone knows that two is a witness, three is a confirmation. The Jews said to Jesus, we know you're a demon because you speak of yourself. It takes two to make a witness. Jesus said, I am one, and the Father that dwelleth in me is the other one. Is that two? Amen. Two is a witness. I am one witness, my Father that dwelleth in me, the other witness. He does the works, so he wasn't alone. Again, three is a witness. So I'll give you a third one. In the fifth chapter, the 36th book, God speaking of his Son first, watching, you see, vindicated his claim. Next was John speaking of him. Now the Son speaks for himself. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which your Father had given me to finish, the same works I do bear witness of me that the Father had sent me. That's three witnesses. John speaking, God speaking for him, and he speaking for himself. Three witnesses that he was sent of God to fulfill the works of God. Let us see now. If Brother Branham taught this all the way through, Brother Branham was not a oneness, he said so. Let us see if his teaching is consistent. The Mohammedans are Ishmael children. We know they believe in the same God we do. But they believe that Muhammad was his prophet. We believe there is one true and living God and Jesus is his son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I guess that must be false. Or that must be true. Greater than he now. We believe in God. The children of Ishmael, every morning, that great big bong rings out there. The priest comes out and said, there's one true and living God, and Muhammad is his prophet. We believe there's one true and living God, and Jesus is his son. Now, is the son the true and living God? Trip to India. I'm going to cut it short. There's one true and living God, and Muhammad is his prophet. We say there's one true and living God, and Jesus is his son. Brother Branham is not a oneness. He is not a oneness. A Mohammedan today believes in one true God, and they say there's one true and living God, and Muhammad is his prophet. We say there's one true and living God, and Jesus is his son. That's the difference. And all of these, every single one of that, is Brother Branham speaking the same. Now, that leaves us one thing. That leaves us one more thing here. Just give me a minute. I had this pad down. It's just that. Let's see what happens when you make the Son God. Notice, after the Exodus, a mixed multitude came out. In Romans 1:25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. The truth of God is this message of the hour. and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. Now, we know, you told me this is the Creator. We know he said he created the sun. And you told me the sun has a beginning. Did that change? Oh, you saw that word Baal and you got quiet. You who said that this is the Creator, the one true and living God. Is that right? And you said the sun was created and had a beginning. Is that right? You said that, right? All suns have beginning. Now, if you worship and serve the creature, now, is the Son of God a creation? Does he have a beginning? More than the Creator. Then it's called Baal worship. Oneness is Baal worship. That's why Elijah was against it. Follow again. Not only was ancestor worship originated in Babylon. Remember, Brother Bam said, well, I have a lot of oneness friend in that Babylon. He said, come from Nicaea. Not only was ancestor worship originated in Babylon, but also the worship of nature. Thus, the chief god would have been the sun god whom they called Baal. So Baal's symbol on the heaven was the sun or the serpent. But on earth, it was the golden calf. There are two main creations that Satan uses to draw people to worship himself, thinking they're worshiping God. The first is himself, because he is the highest and most closest to God in every way, except he couldn't create. And the second of all of the creation that is highest than every other creation is the Son of God, made so unique with his blood cell, different from every other man. And he uses these two to pervert the truth of God, so you can have a confusion. Who is God? So Baal worship is the worship of creation. And is the Son Jesus a creation? Does he have a beginning? All right, well, let's just see. I'm going to leave this for 1 second before I go there. And I want to show here. I am Jehovah, that's this one. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another. Neither the praise to graven images, which is things that are created. Behold, the former things that come to pass, new things I do declare before they spring up. So he is the one that can foretell before they happen. Now, Exodus 23. They shall have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven images of any likeness in the heavens above, on the earth, beneath the earth, or whatever. I'm skipping now. Quotes. No flesh can glory before God. If anybody could have glory, it would have been Jesus. But he said, it's not me that doeth the works. It's my Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Is that right? He did not do anything. He said in his own words, until God showed him a vision of what was taking place. He went down there and done it. No flesh can glory before God. God is all in all and over all. He will not share his glory, not even with his own son. Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself, but as I see my Father doing, I do the same thing he shows me. Is that right? So the Father work it, and I work it here or two. In other words, always in the supernatural, and no flesh can glory in the presence. There is the keynote. Jesus said, quoting from John 5:19, verily, verily, that means absolutely, absolutely. I say unto you, the Son can do nothing himself, but what he sees the Father doing, the Son do likewise. Amen. Do you see, it isn't in man. It wasn't in the Son of Man. It's in God. No flesh glories in the presence, in his presence. Jesus said, I can do nothing until the Father show me a vision. And when I see a vision, then I do it. How many understands that? Otherwise, God showed Jesus a vision on to do that. And when he went, then he went and done it. Do you understand? No flesh glories in the sight of God. It's all in the realm of the Spirit. Even Jesus, the Son of God, said, I can heal no one. But the only healer is him. You just told me that. In the original. or do anything until he shows me what to do. Over and over. There's no man can heal, not even Jesus. Jesus didn't claim to be a healer. He said, it's not me that do it the work, it's my Father. Who is the Lord that healeth all thy diseases? Him. I know it's a little bit. I'm coming to an end here soon. I'm going to skip those. So now, let us look at the class that we are. After the Exodus, a mixed multitude came out. And then Satan got into the mixed multitude message world and he deceived some of them. Watch Malachi 4. Remember the law of Moses. Alright? Which he gave in Horeb. Now, I would just like to look at what Moses' people did. I'm going to look at it in Jude 1 and 4. The Exodus class. For there are certain men crept in unawares. Where? Into the Exodus class. Who were before of all ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So they are denying the revelation of Father and Son. They are denying it. They make it just one. Who is a liar but he that denied that Jesus is Christ? He is Antichrist, he denied the Father and the Son. Those are the ungodly men that deny it. Now, if they deny that the Father and the Son, then they are oneness and therefore Baal worshipper and the golden calf of Baal pure. Now, I missed the point here. The point of it is 1 and 5. That's the point. And I will therefore put you in remembrance, though he once knew this, how the Lord having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, that's the Exodus class. That's us. Having delivered us out of denomination, after what destroyed it, that believe not. Believe not what? Believe not what? In our day in the book of Jude, it says denying the only Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow again. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, had he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness and the judgment. Now we know the prophet said that's not heavenly angels. They are not in chains of darkness. Those were preachers. 2 Peter 2 and 1. But therefore there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who will bring in damnable heresy, even denying the Lord that brought them out. So I want to ask you, which Lord brought you out? Was it he, the Father, in Brother Branham that led the Exodus? Was it he in Moses that led the Exodus? Or was it this Son that brought you out? Which one? Or are these two one like this? You see how it becomes a problem? All right. Now, watch what they did. So when they came out, Brother Blair, when they came out in the Exodus class, they did two sins that God never forgave them. When they came out in the Exodus class, what did they do? They went back and built a golden calf and said, behold thy gods that brought thee out of Egypt. See? They went back. And so when we came out of the Exodus class, you see, when we're not all converted, and then when we start looking at the message, we start bringing back the idea of the oneness right within it, and build a golden calf again. Now he said, remember Horeb, right? So let's go to the book, two places now. This is Elijah now. This is in the days of Elijah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two golden calves and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. That happened in the book of Kings again. And Brother Branham in the seventh seal brings it out like this. Now I'm trying to do this. Blot out a name. Did you notice in the church age the same beast that serves the images of dead people and so forth, try to blot out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and give titles to Father, Son, Holy Ghost? Something with the curse behind it, like Dan, like Ephraim, just did under the hypocrite of a king, an imposter Jeroboam. Notice in 1 Kings chapter 12, and he goes to read it, how they created They build the golden calf and set them up in Mount Ephraim and so forth, and Peniel. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two golden calves and said, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold, thy gods, O Israel, have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. He set one in Bethel and the other one in Dan, and the thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before them. And Brother Bram goes on to say, Ephraim, and they set up idols. These out to worship this, and these went out to worship this. And they were plumbed down into millennium, and God still remembered. They're not even counted. Just as sure as he remembers the good, he remembers the evil ones too. The evil one too. So, we are looking here at one thing also. I'm going to close this here. We are looking now at remember Horeb. Can we go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, please? Deuteronomy chapter 4. And I'm going to take this off here while you do that. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. They have just come out in the Exodus. And he's leaving and he tells them this. Now, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes of judgment which I teach you, for to do them that ye may live and go in and possess the land. Brother Bam said they're going to possess the millennium, which the Lord God, notice carefully, the Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, of your fathers give you. You shall not add unto the word, because he prophetically gave it to Moses. Neither shall he diminish aught from it. And it becomes an absolute, you see. He had to say the Lord. He may keep the commandments of Jehovah your God, which I command you. Your eyes, watch, notice from the minute he says that, he says, your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, that's the worship of Baal. The Lord thy God had destroyed them from among you. So the Exodus class, the Elijah class, what did they do? Elijah had to destroy the priests of Baal. Destroy. What was Elijah against? What is Brother Man? Oneness. What is it? It's creation worship. All right. I'm finishing up here. Now, remember what we said. We said that the son cannot be his own father. I do not believe that Jesus could be his own father. I believe Jesus had a father, and that was God. All right? So if you have another Jesus, for I'm jealous over you with a godly sip, for I've exposed you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind shall be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if we received another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, it might be well to bear. So we are looking at another Jesus, another gospel. All right? Now, you say, Brother Tony, what's Baal worship? It's the worship of the creation above the Creator. And the Creator is Him. The creation that we are looking at is the Son. Not that the Son is doing it, but it's Satan perverting the Word to cause you to misappropriate the worship. Follow again now. Jesus, the Lord Jesus himself, was a tabernacle in which God dwelt in to manifest himself, because he was a spirit. He was a spirit. Now, Jesus wasn't eternal. God's eternal. I'm trying to show you the creation now. Now, watch again. Anything that had a beginning has an end, because anything that had a beginning is a creation. So this has a beginning. The Son has a beginning. So that's creation. And when you worship the creation more than the Creator, it becomes Baal worship. But God was not created. He was always God. There's no place He was created. And the only way that you'll ever have eternal life is to be part of that creation. Or if you could see it, see what the Holy Ghost does for you. It's the Holy Ghost, the Creator Himself, God the Father, in the form of the Spirit, called Holy Spirit, because it was upon the body called Jesus, His Son, that He created Jesus. the body. That's the reason it had to die. God dwelt in human flesh and a blood cell was broke and the life of the blood cell came back. See, by first interpretation, King of Righteousness, not no of end, but made like unto the Son of God. He was not the Son of God, for if he was the Son of God, he had a beginning. This man had no beginning. That was Jehovah in the light. Jehovah was manifest in the tabernacle in his Son, which was the creative Son, Jesus Christ. That's the reason there's a difference between God and Jesus. Jesus had a beginning. God had no beginning. Melchizedek had no beginning. Jesus had beginning. Amen. So what is Baal worship? It's oneness. Now how great this man was. Consider how great he was. He's beyond the Son of God. The Son of God had father and mother. He didn't. The Son of God had beginning of time and end of time. He didn't. Who was that? That was the Father, the Son. That's who it was. And this Melchizedek was not Jesus, for he was God. And what made Jesus and God different? Jesus was a tabernacle that God dwelt in. I know you know these. I'm just trying to get to. All right. And it was not Jesus, the body, the Son of God. It was the God of glory in the Son of God, showing the glory of God through himself. Okay. One more set here. You say, Brother Tony, what is this all about now? Okay, we know that this is Jesus' Father. We know that it's Jehovah Elohim. And now we have the Son. And he has a beginning. Okay? He has a beginning. He has a Father. And his Father is God. If he is God and he has a Father who is God, you have two gods. But you don't. One God who had a Son. Now the mystery comes out. What is his name and what is his Son's name? That's the question that is being asked. And no one can answer this except Brother Bill. He's the only one can answer that. It's a mystery. It remained a mystery. Paul knew it. But Paul was not allowed to preach it. And the prophet said that new name will be revealed in the thunders. So let's see if Brother Branham begins to reveal it. Now we find out that Jesus also said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Then the name of the Father must be Jesus. Wait a minute. This is the Father here? The Lord had no beginning, the Eternal One? Then his name is Jesus. Because he said, I carry my Father's name, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Then his name was Jesus. So this, the green is my notes. The Father and the Son have the same name because you have a Jesus here. And you have a Jesus here. You say, Brother Tony, I never heard that in my life. Of course you wouldn't. It come from the seventh seal. If everybody heard it, then Brother Branham never had a job to do. You say, well, Brother Tony, I've never heard it preached for 40 years. That is why it's hidden. It's not something written in the Word. It's something hid in the Word, he said. What are these seven thunders? He says it's not something that's not written in the Word. It's something that's hid in the Word. And it takes a prophet to bring it out. He said, well, I never hear that. Well, then, how can your mind be transformed? Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It means if your mind is going to renew, it's going to throw out things you once thought, and it's going to be renewed under seventh seal. Follow again. Position in Christ. God only had one name, and his name is Jesus. I only know one God. And that's him. Now let's see if in the Bible. Son and sons inherit our name from our Father. Paul, in Hebrews 1 and 4, says, being made so much better than the angels, as he by inheritance obtained a more excellent name. How does a son get his name? Tell me, by inheritance. He inherits his name. From who? From him. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not the Son, the Father. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. The whole family is named after the Father. Amen. Because the Son inherits his name. Again, Philadelphian church age. A pillar in the temple of my God. I will write upon him the name of my God, not the name of the Son of God. Now, what's the name of God? Jesus. Is this the one true God? Not him. One true God? I see one God. And his name is Jesus. We're getting a little late. Jesus, in heaven and earth, is all named Jesus, you see. The name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem. Oh, I'll put it. Oh, if you see it, it's all the same name. You should have already caught it. I'll put him in the name of the city of my God. The new church is the Gentile church, the bride. The bride is a Gentile. And a Gentile has a name, has his name. He took a people out of the Gentiles for his name. Now, who took a people out? Not the Son. Because it's God who took Eve out of Adam. Adam never took Eve out of himself. It is God that took Eve out of Adam. Follow, what's the type again? He's quoting Acts 15:14. After that they had held their peace, James answered and said, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out a people for people out of them for his name. And I'll write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is all the same name, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All right. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, so God gave him that name, Jesus. All right? God gave him that name, Jesus. Every knee shall bow. In things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, I'm going to say this. Jesus inherits his name and is given that name from his Father, and it came to Mary by an angel. But when Paul met the pillar of fire on the road to Damascus, and he looked up and he said, Great Jehovah. Great Jehovah. Who art thou? Jehovah answered back and said, I am Jesus. That is how Paul knew the Son inherits his name. That's how he knew that Jehovah of the old was now taking a family name or a patriarch name. So Melchizedek became Jesus Christ. Melchizedek did not become the Son of God. A father cannot become a son. Melchizedek became Jesus Christ by a name change. Because God is always changing his name. All right. You say, how many Jesuses do you got, Brother Tony? Well, really, you got three. Jesus the Father, Jesus the Son, Jesus the Bride. Is that right? You got really four. Then you got Satan Jesus, the oneness Jesus. Which is another Jesus. The Baal. You see? Now watch carefully. If you do not know these truths, revealed under that seventh seal, every message book you pick up, you're going to be wrong from the beginning. And you're going to be in idolatry from the beginning. Whether you are a minister or whether you're going to be a lay member. From the minute you pick up a book, that's how close it is, it can deceive the very elect. No matter how much you love it, no matter how sincere you live, no matter how holy, it has nothing to do with it. It has to do with gene and election. So calling Jesus on the scene, which Jesus do you want to see? Do you want the one who says, I can do nothing? Or do you want the one who can do all, the omnipotent? Because that's the one who has to be here in the prophet. Because he's the only one who can discern the heart. He's the only one who can create a new body. He's the only one who can heal. I'm the Lord that healeth. He said, I couldn't heal. Which Jesus do you want to call on the scene? Because if you call him, that's God, then you're calling Jehovah Elohim, which was the one that was with Abraham. And he's promised to come back as Luke 17:30. Son of man, God in the form of a prophet, not the son in the form of a prophet. God. Which Jesus are you calling on the scene? Which Jesus keeps all his appointments? You mean the one who doesn't know when he's coming back? Or the one in the fullness of time God sent forth his son? Made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them from under the law. Which one keeps his appointment? So we would see Jesus. Which one you want to see? The man or the healer? Who did the Greeks want to see? The man who can open the eyes of the blind, could discern the thoughts of the heart. And they came to Jesus to see Jesus, but they couldn't see him because he was veiled in this one. They saw a regular man in dust. From the very beginning, the title, Christ revealed in his own words. Who is the Christ there being revealed? Because Jesus said, my doctrine is not my own, my teaching is not my own. As I hear, I speak. The word come to him. Revelation came to him. My Father will reveal to me even greater truths. Who is the Christ revealing his own word? Well, you told me he is the God of all wisdom. He wrote the word. Didn't you tell me that? Wait a minute. Are you going back on your amens? You're not going back on your amens. Oh. I know you're tired. The Bible said in Colossians 1:15, we worship an invisible God. God is invisible. Do you believe that? Then this person coming around here with nail prints, smoke, blood, everything else, that wouldn't make him God. We worship an invisible God. He has always been invisible until he identified himself in Jesus Christ. Is that right? The pillar of fire that Moses saw was not the invisible God. The pillar of fire was the Shekinah glory that represented that the invisible God was at hand. When John baptized Jesus, the Son of God, wait a minute. This message is calling Jesus on the scene. There's a Jesus here, the Son of God. Is that the one? When John baptized Jesus, the Son of God, God, the invisible God, came down. The invisible God, therefore, is not the Son of God. There's a Jesus who is visible, and there is the God who is invisible. He said, God came down in the form of a light, shaped like a dove, sailing down through the air. The invisible God identified himself in the Shekinah glory. The same invisible God identified himself in the pillar of fire, the Shekinah glory, when he dedicated the temple at Solomon. It come in and went. The pillar of fire went in behind the curtains upon the holiest of holies. The Shekinah glory was identified. Now, when Paul was on the road to Damascus, the invisible Jesus Christ, not the Son of God that was at the Jordan River and the invisible God came in him, he's now showing you that Jesus is being called on the scene. The invisible Jesus Christ. So there is a Jesus Christ who is Hebrews 13 and 8. He is the same. This is the one that was in Abraham. This is the one that was in Moses. This is the one that was in Jesus. And this is the one that is in Brother Bill. Isn't that right? He is the same yesterday, forever, because he's the I am. Amen. Amen. He is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has a beginning. He has mother and father. Amen. That's how Paul knew the invisible Jesus Christ identified himself to Paul in the form of Shekinah glory, a light that put out the sinner's eye. That same Shekinah glory is here tonight. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Who is this Hebrews 13:8 that's the invisible? God. Representing an invisible God. Confirming his word with signs that he had promised to be done. He had been called on the scene. Who's the one that's been called on the scene? The invisible Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:8. Not the Son of God. We meet him in the air. When we see him, he'll be in the air. I am very pleased to dwell in this one. Dwell, that's to occupy, come into a house. In him was the fullness of the Godhead, as says the scripture. That's right, the visible image of the invisible God. The man is the visible image of the invisible Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, how many Jesus Christ is there? You're afraid, aren't you? So, Brother Tony, don't say that. Don't say that, brother. It will stumble the people. If you don't know, if I know and I don't tell you, God will hold me accountable. And if I'm afraid of any man or minister, then I will be servant of man and not God. If I am wrong, you judge. You see, it is in your hearts now, but I must tell you. Expectation. Then we see in the scriptures that God, after dwelling in Christ, had returned back by the name of Jesus. In the same light he was in the beginning. Investments. And when Paul or Saul then recognized that God, comma, Jehovah, comma, the pillar of fire of the Old Testament, comma, had called himself Jesus, he took out a policy, he was ready for it then. So we would see Jesus. Look, when he was here on earth, how many knows that that was a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel in the wilderness? It was Christ, the angel of the covenant. All right, how many knows that that was Jesus in Jesus? That same spirit. So I can say, Jesus in Jesus. This is God. This is Jehovah of the old, the Jesus of the new. This is Christ, the anointing. This is the Holy Ghost. This is the pillar of fire. Can I say all of that? And I can say the Son is the flesh, the man, the tent, the tabernacle, the house, the veil. I can say all of that. And I don't mean this. You say, Brother Tony, prove it to me now that that's Jesus in Jesus, is God coming into Jesus. Simple. The Spirit of God, that's not the man. Like a dove descend and a voice from heaven saying, this is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So this is Son, in whom I'm well pleased. They got the verb before the adverb, like all the foreigner is. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. That was God coming into Jesus. And what is God's name? Jesus. That's Jesus coming into Jesus. Say, Brother Tony, that's a play on words. Well, you have to worry about Brother Branham. Okay? So when it says it was Jesus and David, which one was it? If it was Jesus and Jesus, which Jesus was in David? God in sundry times, in diverse matters, spake unto the fathers by the prophet. In these last days spoke to us in his Son. Who is the one? Who is the Jesus that was in Daniel? This one. Who is the Jesus that was in Moses? This one. Who was the Jesus that was in Brother Bill? This one. Who is the Jesus that was in Jesus? This one. So you could read the message, and if you have one Jesus, when you say, it was Jesus and David, you already pervert that. Now, which Jesus come in three sons' name? This one or this one? Well, let's prove it. It is he that came in him for Son of Man. It is he that came back as a pillar of fire, a Son of God on the day of Pentecost. It is he that come in Brother Branham to be Son of Man Alpha, the Judge. And it is he who incarnates his Son in Revelation 19, brings him down as Son of David. So who is the Jesus that comes in three sons' name? Is the message becoming a new message? Is your Bible becoming a new book? Isn't that what he promised the seventh seal will do? Okay, you say, Brother Tony. He promised these things to happen in the last days, that the Son of Man will be made manifest. Now, remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that can discern the thoughts in the Sarah's mind behind him. Can this Jesus discern thoughts? It was not him. It was this Jesus that we said was Jehovah that could discern thoughts. So he's telling you, the one that has a beginning is not the discerner. Hear what he says. He promised these things would happen in the last days, that the Son of Man will be made manifest. Now remember, that was not Jesus talking to Abraham there that could discern the thoughts in Sarah's mind behind him. That was not Jesus. He had not yet been born. But it was a man in human flesh that Abraham called Elohim, the great Almighty. Amen? Now, just watch now. How many know that Jesus today is a pillar of fire that followed the children of Israel? I come from God, I go to God. Is that what he said? So who is saying that? This Jesus is saying that. If you don't have this right, even the quotes, when you plug them in, would become wrong. Let's say, for instance, you're reading the book of Revelation, the Revelation series. He said, and I heard a voice as a trumpet, you know, behind me. He said, and I turned to see. He said, that same trumpet voice was the one that spoke on Mount Sinai. He said, that's the same voice that spoke on Mount Transfiguration. Well, who spoke in Mount Transfiguration? God. When he said, this is my son. So the Jesus that they turned to see, amen, was deity, was not a man. It'll change your church age book. I'm going to give you a quote from the church age book. The most important and yet the most controversial quote that there is. Hear what it says. Jesus never spoke of two gods. He spoke of one God. He said he never came to reveal himself. He came to reveal the Father. Is that what he said? He said, and now we've come back to the greatest revelation, the capstone revelation, that there is one God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you only have one name for Lord Jesus Christ, you die. Because you come right back and make the Son his own Father. In the very same church age book. Amen? I close with this. I showed you two Jesuses. Now I'm going to show you two Jesuses, how many gods? And now I'm going to show you two Lords and how many gods? Because this is the most frightening part to the ministry right here. But if it's revealed to you, it's easy. Why is he made Lord? And why can that no man can say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Ghost? Why? Why can't they say it? I read on the scriptures, there's one God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. God and Lord Jesus Christ in the same sentence, yet Paul was only a believer in one God. So this scripture comes somewhere. Psalms. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, Jehovah said unto my Lord, sit down on my right hand till I make thy enemies. So you have two lords there. The Lord, that's Jehovah. Who is that? That's this one. Said unto my Lord. These are two different words. Sit on right hand. Well, that's the same as Matthew 28:18. All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's what right hand is. Is that right? Didn't the Bible say God had highly exalted him? Is that right? And then the Bible in 1 Peter 3:22 says that that principalities and angels being made subject unto him. Now, who sits on his right hand? Well, we know that God raised Christ from the dead and set him on his right hand. So this is the Son of God. My Lord here is the Son of God. This is what Jesus asked him in Matthew 20. He says, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Peter said, thou art, you see, he said, he's the son of David. And he said, well, if he's the son of David, why did David call him Lord? He didn't say, what think ye of Jehovah? He never said, what think ye of Jehovah? He said, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? He's not talking about him at all. Whose son is he? He said, the son of David. He said, well, if he's the son of David, how come David calls him Lord? My Lord. Well, David did it because David saw him in vision. David saw when he went to pits in hell. David saw him when he was on the cross and compassed about him. David saw him in hell. Leave my soul in hell. And David saw him lifted on the right hand where David never was. So David saw all of this, and Peter in the book of Acts is bringing David up. All right? So let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus, whom you crucify, the Lord that David saw on his right hand. Who made him Lord? Him. Who gave him power and authority? Him. You see, this in the Bible. This is Pharaoh. This is Joseph. Isn't that right? Did not Pharaoh make Joseph Lord over everything? So he's made. So I'm asking you the question now. Can anybody make Jehovah Jehovah? That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Can anybody make God God? Can't do it, Brother Grace. This is my Lord. Jehovah said unto my Lord, the Son of God, sit on my right hand. So we know this is the Son. There's so many God raised Christ to sit on his right hand. God raised him from the dead, placed him on his right hand. All of these are scriptures, all of them in the Bible. So now this is the Father said unto the Son, or Jehovah said unto my Lord. Now why did he make him Lord? 5 reasons. Can you go quickly? I've got to finish my first part, otherwise tomorrow I'll be behind. First reason he's made Lord. He is the husband to the church. And in Peter 1 and 3, Sarah called her husband Lord. Sarah called her husband. He is the husband to the church. He's the head of the body. He is her Lord. Anybody object? Hold your peace. Isn't true that Christ is made the husband to the church? Isn't your husband your Lord? Second reason he's made Lord. He is the firstborn son. Is that right? Let us go to Deuteronomy 21:15. I'm closing. I know you think this man is going to stay here forever. Not tonight. If a man have two wives, one beloved, another hated, they have both him children, both beloved and hated. And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that he shall which he had, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge that the son of the... he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a... over all that he had. You see, we are joint heirs with Christ. The many members are joint heirs with him. But we will never inherit. He will be the strength of the Father. He will not. You see? For he is the beginning of his strength. The right hand, the right of the firstborn is. So they are firstborn rights. He becomes after the Father, he becomes the head. And all sons become servants to this firstborn. Like I'm going to show you in 1 minute. Let us go to the book of Genesis 37:27. The right of the firstborn. Why is he made Lord? Sorry, brother. 27:37. See, if you all were listening a little faster, I'd finish quicker. I'm sorry. These things take time. If I break it up badly, what's going to happen? I'm going to mess it up and I'll mess somebody up here. And the enemy just loves that. Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your Lord. He gave away the birthright. So Isaac now gave him the blessing. I have made him thy and all his brethren. I have made him to be for. That is why Jesus, Paul always says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, or Paul, a servant, that word is born servant of Jesus Christ by the will of God. It is the Father's will that we serve the firstborn, because the firstborn is pleased. God is pleased with him. His Father is pleased. So he becomes the example. We must be like him, act like him, be trained like him, tutored by him. See, we are his servants. We are right here now. It's not my ministry. I represent the Son of God. And when I do those things that the Son imitate what the Son of God will do, then God comes down and blesses it. Amen. When we lay hands on someone, it's not our hands, it's the hands of the Son of God. Amen. And God blesses it. Amen. When it says, in these last days has spoken us to us in his Son, I am the continuation of his Son. Because when he's not away, we represent the Son. Amen? Amen? All right. Third reason He is the king of the Jews, or the son of David. And I'll make my, Psalms 89, I'll make my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. Fourth reason, he's an overcomer. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. Guess what? He rose with the title Lord. You say, no, they were calling him Lord before. No, they won't. Lord before his resurrection was a title of respect. Take John chapter 9. He met the blind man. He said, "Dost thou believe in the Son of God?" He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe on him?" Call him Lord and didn't even know, because he was called a rabbi. They respected him with the title Lord. They used to kiss the hem of their garment and say, "My Lord, the King." Kiss the high priest's hem of his garment, "My Lord." Didn't mean Jehovah. Fifth reason. He is a high priest over the house of God. That's not the building. These are the five reasons he is made Lord. So now, if you give me my notes, I'm closing, I promise. Promise. The Lord said unto my Lord, he has made him, this son here, is made Lord and Christ. His name is Jesus. He is made Lord and Christ. This is Jehovah of the old, who took a New Testament family name or patriarch name from Melchizedek. He has become Jesus. And this is Lord Jesus Christ. This is the anointor or anointing, and this is the anointed. Now let's see how this changes your Bible. Let's see how this changes your Bible. Seven seal revelation is supposed to make your Bible a new book. Let's go for 1 Thessalonians 4:16. I want to ask you, why does it say the Lord himself? Why does it say the Lord shall descend from heaven? Remember, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost, by a new birth and by a revelation in this hour. The only age, Brother Blair. The only age that God unveiled himself. So I ask the question, who is the Lord himself? Because you have the Lord said unto my Lord. Which Lord is descending? Is it the one who has been made Lord descending? Or is it the one who made him Lord descending? Or does it matter? If you've never been asked that, it's because the one God, one Jesus, one Lord, one finger thing was your idea. And they just have you changing roles like this. You see, that is what would have happened. But I ask you, if this is the greatest revelation and it transforms your entire Bible, Bible becomes a new book, you get to know your God, reveal in his own word, see him in human flesh, identify the characteristics in Brother Branham. I ask you, which Lord is descending? Is it this one? The one who has been made Lord? Or the one who made him Lord? Well, let's just take some and analyze it. Is he not coming to adopt? Can a son adopt a son? Or it will take the father to adopt a son? And which one is guarding the people with the shout and the voice isn't the voice of the resurrection to raise the dead? So who raised Jesus from the dead? Himself? Who rose the dead 2,000 years ago? You said, he said, I'm the resurrection and life. That wasn't him speaking. Abraham said, that was God speaking in his son. Who rose the dead? The Bible said, God raised him from the dead. And then the others followed. So who's going to raise the dead again? Who's the same yesterday, today, and forever? Who adopts? Who discerns? Who brings a body change message to Abraham and Sarah? Before the promised sons appear. So let's get this clear. This Lord Jesus Christ the Father, when he starts appearing, he is appearing in the form of a prophet, son of man. Starts 1946, ends 1965. That's the appearing of the Lord in the form of a prophet. Him. That's not the coming. The coming is the incarnate God. He inside of him, and we meet him in the air. That's when he comes for his bride. That's the coming. The appearing is him. The coming is he in him in the air. That's the difference. He comes three times in that body, in him. He comes three times in him to die for his bride, with his bride, Revelation 19. But when he doesn't come with this body, he uses William Branham's body. That's the appearing of the Lord as the Son of Man ministry. So the Lord himself shall descend from heaven as who? Him. Does it matter? Yes. It matters. Yes, it matters. Okay. Revelation 10:1. I see a mighty angel descend from heaven, clothed in a cloud and a rainbow over his head. Page 74 of the seal book, the prophet said that is Christ descending. Is it Christ the anointing, the anointer, or the anointed one? Because remember, there's somebody on the earth at his coming. He's got to. What is this man doing here? The anointed can't go in another man to be anointed. So which Christ? Is it the one who has been made Christ coming? Or the one who made him Christ? It's this one, isn't it? Mr. Brother Tony, one man says, you cannot understand Brother Tony's Godhead. A washerwoman can't understand it. I don't care if you're a washerwoman. We are not talking about you. We're talking about that gene in here. That gene don't know education or nothing, but it knows when it hears the truth, it can say amen to it. That's the gene, brother. This is your revelation of your Godhead. Which, now, let's do Colossians 3 and 4. When Christ our life shall appear, I want to ask you, which Christ is going to appear? This one? Or this one? 1 Peter 1:13, it says, you know, be sober and hope to the end. Right? Be sober and hope to the end. For the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Which Lord Jesus Christ has been revealed? This one or this one? Is it not the unveiling of God? Is it not this one? He was hid in him and now we know. You catch where I'm going, friends? Amen. I'm going to give you one more. Just one more. The Bible said, the prophet said, you must be baptized, watch carefully, in the book of Acts 2:38 says you must baptize in Jesus Christ. Is that right? The other books of Acts chapter 10, chapter 8, different chapters, 19, speaks of baptizing the Lord, in the name of the Lord. So you have to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, which Lord Jesus Christ are you going to be baptized in? Which Lord Jesus Christ? Brother Bram said the gospel guards the book of Acts. So Matthew guards Acts 2:38. Because Matthew said, go baptize in the name. Matthew said, go baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the man said, these are not people. He said, these are offices or dispensation, three dispensation of one God. So if it's dispensation of one God, this Lord Jesus is a son. He's not the one God. So who is a God that was in Moses in the fatherhood? Who was the God, the same God that was in Moses, was in the Son, Jesus, for sonship? Who is this? Was it not him? Who is the God that placed the Son and comes back on the day of Pentecost by the name of Jesus? I ask you, brother. He said, you've got to get your Godhead straightened out before you get your water baptism. And I have a list of quotes and scriptures to support this. Now, I got somebody upset not long ago. Somebody who has not really traveled anywhere. Brother Cyril and I, for the last 12 years, traveled to most every country, the continent. I say that humbly. We work in the field. We work in message churches. And I've traveled most. And 98% of the message churches do not know this. It's the oneness God. And not that they are bad people. It's that we have to take it to them. It's unfolding. And I mean that. And you are here. You will be a good judge. Brother Barnabas, you've been in it a long time. You believe this? You preach this? You've heard this here in Durban? Brother? I ask. Could this be right? Is there a possibility this could be right? Could it be that we could be deceived even in the message? As the children of Israel went back to Baal and they didn't even know they were doing wrong? Could it be that when the prophet preached 1 in a million in the message, that it could be true because he wasn't talking about a Hittite, Jebusite. He was only talking about the population under a pillar of fire. A token and a prophet. Could it be, friends? And I ask you, how were you baptized? Did your pastor ask you? You say baptism doesn't matter. If you were a oneness, come from the oneness organization, would you have been rebaptized? If you come from the Trinitarian, would you have been rebaptized? You say baptism is nothing. I'm not preaching baptism for anything. I'm just telling you the true formula by the Godhead of baptism. Right? You say, well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus and that God raised him from the dead, while Peter yet spake the Holy... Peter understood the Godhead because Peter is a man who said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter is a man who preached Godhead by saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, and by saying, this same Jesus God had made Lord and Christ. Peter understood it. Peter had the Holy Ghost. So when Peter taught it, they knew that they were accepting the Son of God as the Messiah, but calling upon the name of Jehovah as in the Old Testament. That's what the Bible said. They called upon the name of Jehovah. Because there's no salvation. Jonah 2 and 9. Your salvation is of Jehovah. I asked the question. If we had our Godhead wrong, wouldn't we have had our baptism wrong? And if a oneness present Jesus, if a oneness is presenting Jesus, the Son of God, death, burial, and resurrection, is he presenting the true Jesus to that believer? Is he baptized with the Holy Ghost? Well, he can't even witness. It's only after you're filled with the Holy Ghost can you be witnesses unto me. And Brother Bram said, life comes through the body. So if a oneness is presented, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, will he present the right Jesus? He doesn't. You say, Brother Tony, I can't believe that. Well, let me say one closing statement. Brother Branham said that the ministry that was preaching God did not know God actually. And the scribes and Pharisees that was preaching God and living for God did not know God. Could it be true that we could be in the ministry and not know our God and preach about God? Could it be? You think it's possible that could happen again? You say, Brother Tony, these are hard things. But they're true things, and I'm going to meet you one day. One way or the other, I'm going to meet you, and I want to make sure my conscience is clear to give Durban the best that I have got. Whether it's right or wrong, I delivered all that I know. I'm asking you, friends, how were you baptized, and who baptized you? Life comes through the body. I know you know there's more to this message. I know you know that this message has power. I wonder what is grounding it all these years. Could it be that we have another Jesus, another gospel, and think that we are birthed? Can we be birthed with a false Godhead? Can we break the first commandment and expect God to bless us? Can we worship the creature more than the Creator? Can we exalt His Son above the Creator Himself? Which Jesus are we seeing? Which Jesus are we magnifying? I ask you, pray about it. Amen. You say, I don't have anybody to baptize me. I'm going to be here until Monday. I'll be happy to take you and baptize you. I'll be happy to I'm sure that there's somebody who will do it. But if I was you, and Lord, open your eyes to this. Don't let mother, father, brother, sister, pastor, what this one thing, what that one. You worry about what God thinks. You might be in the ones and twos, but you are the celebrities of heaven. God bless you. God keep you. God cause His face to shine upon you. God gives you much grace. Thank you, Brother Louis.
Musicians will come along. Quite a subject, especially Godhead, brothers and sisters. In our local church, we're doing it for the past 8 years. And one of the things we have found is that terminology in the message is so easily overlooked. Like when you read Christ, you often have your mind on just one thing. When you read the word Jesus, you have your mind on one thing. But we have found that it is God hiding Himself in His Word. And we trust this weekend it will be a blessing to your hearts. There are many believers that are listening on live streaming as well. We've placed it on live streaming. Just invite your families and friends and maybe just check out this truth, because we're living in a closing of time. And the book of Jeremiah says that there'll be a people that will know their God. And the Bible says He'll give them a heart to know Him. And we trust this evening will be a blessing to your hearts. You go home, ponder over the things you've heard. Tomorrow evening is at 5 o'clock again. And on Sunday morning, I know many of you have to go to your own meetings as well. But many of you always wanted to know about what about the Son? Where is His place? Do we worship Him? Do we honor Him? What is His place? So that's the subject on Sunday morning. If you miss it, you can pick it up on the live streaming on the website. God richly bless you. Let's all stand together as we close our service with a few songs. Hide me now under your wings. Cover me under your mighty hands. As we sing the song in closing, just pass the message out tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Sunday morning is our morning worship at the church at 10:30. And Sunday afternoon, once again, at 5 o'clock. Those of them who cannot catch it, you can catch it on live streaming as well. The brothers at the end of the meeting will post up the link for you. Within your mighty hand.
hand. Oceans rise and thunders roll. So with you above the storm, you are King over. Be still and know. Find rest, my soul, in Christ alone. No. In quietness and trust, the oceans rise and thunders roll. So with you above the I will be still when the oceans rise. The oceans rise and thunders roll. So with you above the storm, you are King over the flood. I will be still and know. For the last time, when the oceans rise, the oceans rise and darkness roars. So with you above the storm, every head bowed and every eye closed, we thank God for this great ministry, this great truth that God has revealed to us. That one of the important revelations, Brother Brown calls it the capstone revelation. We've got to know the God that we serve. May the Lord help us as we search this out. This weekend, we'll come to know this God of this word. We'll ask our dear Brother Norman to pray for the Lord's blessings, even as we wind our way, and even for the meetings that lie ahead. Amen.
We want to be worshippers of the name of God. Father, we want to be true worshippers of God. Lord, you promised in your word of God. You said, Lord, there's a time that will come, O God.
Amen.
We won't worship on this mountain, O God, but they will worship the true God in spirit and truth, O God. And Father, that's the age in which we have come to, O God. And Father, we believe, O God. And Lord, we believe these truths, O God.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, to represent the Father, to reveal the invisible God. And Father, we thank you for, Lord, this great ministry of God, of your prophet of God.
Amen.
Father, to bring these truths to us, O God. Lord, we were lost, Lord. Lord, we were not worshiping the true God. But Father, we thank you, Lord. You've opened our eyes, O God.
Amen.
And Father, Lord, we thank you for the service of God.
Amen.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great anointing of God, the great inspiration of.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we just pray, Lord, as the meetings will unfold. we want to be the truth, Lord. We want to worship you, Lord. Father, we want to be, Lord, not to be deceived, Lord God. But Father, we want, Lord, for you to reveal yourself to us, Lord God. Bless your people, Lord God. Father, we come at your feet, Lord, to listen, Lord, attentively, O Lord. To listen patiently, O God. We thank you for your people, O God, that have gathered, O God. Father, truly, Lord, they may be tired, O God. Father, they may be weary from the long days of work, O God. But Father, we thank you for yet come before you, O Lord, under subjection, O God. In humility, O God, to listen from your throne, O God. Bless your people, O God. We just commit, Lord, this rest of meeting, O God. May give us safe traveling mercies, Lord, as we leave the sanctuary, O God. And Father, may we truly ponder the things we've heard.
Amen.
Lord, may we search it out, O God, to see if it's true, O God, O God. Father, we pray for your divine Holy Spirit, O God, that you'll come and anoint every heart, O God. That, Father, this will not just be head knowledge, O God, but you'll make it a revelation, O God.
Yes, O Father.
Said, O God, Father, no man can give revelation, O God, only the Father is in heaven, O God. Father, we commit the rest of these meetings, O Lord. We pray, Lord, for you. Mighty Holy Spirit, to come, Lord. And Father, all the questions in our hearts, O God, everything that we have, we might have misunderstood, O God. May you clear it, O God. Father, just bless us, O God. And Lord, as we leave this sanctuary, O God, may your Holy Spirit and may your angel go before us, O God. Give us safe traveling mercy, O God, until we meet again tomorrow. For we ask in the name of your Son.
Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. You may take your seats. We want to thank you for coming together. That is the